All right, all right. Good morning, everybody. Hope you're doing well. Very good, very good. We got a few birthdays for you. One birthday for you. Ann Strother. Grace Wright. All right. Good morning. Amen. All right, all right. Well, we do have some birthdays for you this morning. Good morning. Good to see each and every one of you. How about that rain? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo, got some rain. Yeah, praise the Lord, man. It rained. Yeah. Praying for more rain. Amen. Take an inch a week, Fred. An inch a week. We need an inch a week of rain. Now, I don't have to drag hoses. I don't have to drag hoses and water the grass while I'm drinking my coffee. I don't have to do it. It's a glorious thing. All right, let's see here. We've got Miss Sarah Puente. Sarah Puente has been in the nursing home for several years, but her birthday is on the 24th. Today is the 22nd. Some of you may remember her. Sweet lady, lover of the church, love the church, love everything about this place. Let's see here. And then Grace Wright, Mary Qualls' granddaughter. Grace with us today. No, I don't see Mary Qualls. Or... Okay, well, y'all tell them we sing them happy birthday. Amen. So Grace Wright's having a birthday on the 25th. Any other birthdays in the house? Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, all right. Let's sing some happy birthday. Go, brother.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen and many more.
Amen. Well, if you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing, "We Bring the Sacrifice of Praise." And welcome to our online folks, too.
We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy, the sacrifices of joy.
Amen.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
If we could please have our ushers come forward to receive this morning's offering.
Dearly Father, we just come here today just to thank you, Lord, and give you all the glory, Lord, and just thank you for this beautiful day you give us. Again, thank you for the rain you give us, Lord, and well needed. We needed that rain, and we just thank you for that. We thank you for the choir as they're up there just singing this worship music and Jeremiah leading it. And, Lord, we just thank you for all our visitors here this morning. We're glad to have them here. We hope they're blessed, Lord Jesus, Lord. We thank you, God, for just everything you've given us, Lord, and you give us so much, and we're just giving a small portion back to you, Lord, and we just ask you to bless that. And, but, Lord, if there's anybody that's here today, especially if there's anybody here today that don't know you, Lord, we pray to come forth and give their life to you. Lord, we pray for our pastor as he brings this message, Lord, put the words on his heart, let the Holy Spirit flow through this church. And again, thank you for everything you've given us. We give just that small back portion back to you. And all these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree.
I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I'll love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath. And say, when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with a glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Well, it's graduation recognition Sunday, amen. Melissa, make your way to the front, girl, amen. Melissa, she done did it, man. She done did it. All right, Mom and Dad, you going to join her? Got to get that photo up now. Somebody going to take a picture? All right, get them cameras ready. We do have another graduate, but she's working. So I don't know when we'll get her here on a Sunday. May have to do it on a Sunday night or something, or a Wednesday. I have no idea. But she's got a J-O-B, and she's trying to save money for college, and college is some kind of crazy expensive. Welcome home, man. Good to see you. You doing all right? All right. Are you glad to be done?
Yes.
Are you going to go to college, or are you tapping out?
I'm tapping out.
All right. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Amen. Well, we've got we give this to every graduate. It's God promises for graduates. And I just put in there, praying for big things in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Big things for your life. And then I put in there, make prayerful decisions. Pray, right? I always tell kids, this frontal lobe up here, it develops quicker in girls, but it's still not cooked yet, okay? So this summer, oh my soul, if you even think it's not a good decision, don't do it. Just err on the side of caution, amen? When you're about 24, that frontal lobe will be about cooked, and those boys you hang around, they don't get finished until about 26 or 28, so stay away from them, amen?
Amen.
All right, and then, amen? Yeah. And then love you, Pastor Stephen. So love you, Pastor Stephen. And then the message this morning kind of ties into graduation. And it's basically, we'll talk about it in a minute, but congratulations. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Way to go, girl. Amen. All right. Well, let's get I'll get on this end. You guys get together. Amen, amen. All right, all right. We in here? Very good. 1, 2, 3. Good. And then I won't on with the graduate. All right. Very good. Way to go, kid. Got it? Way to go, man. And when's your ceremony?
28.
28? And where y'all do that? Okay. Going to A&Mville, huh? Don't let them get you in that cult up there. That A&M thing's a cult. Yes, sir.
I don't know what time it is.
You know what time it is? It's time for children's church, man. Boom, boom. All right, children's church. You can give me a hug? All right, you can give me. All right. Children's church. Amen. It's children's church time. All right, they got a few to go. Got a few to go to Children's Church. Oh, man, they're excited. Hallelujah. Amen. How about that rain and that cool feeling this morning? Woo, hallelujah. Man, wasn't that awesome? That was like glory to the Lord, man. Feeling that cool nip in the air. My soul. Well, for the rest of us, let's take a copy of God's Word and turn to Matthew chapter 19. Those of you with us online, good to have you with us this morning and today. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the Holy and Inerrant Word of God. Matthew chapter 19. We'll begin reading here in verse 27, and we'll take it through verse 30. 19, 27 through 30. Next week is Memorial Weekend, right? So, right? Is that correct? Next weekend, Memorial Weekend? So you need to start being very cognizant getting into next weekend. There's going to be people on the road that have started their celebrations early about Friday. And so you just need, this is not the week going into next weekend to be on your cell phone while driving. I'm telling you, not the week. Get off of that phone. There's going to be people that have had way too much to be behind the wheel, and they're going to be out there on the roads. Especially if you're driving two-lane blacktops, friend, be ready to throw that thing in the ditch. Amen, I'm telling you. When a drunk is driving, they are drawn to the light like a bug is to a lamp. I'm telling you. So you're out midnight. You should have been home 3 hours ago. You're out midnight going down the road. That drunk's coming the opposite direction. They see your lights. They just want to drive right into you, man. I'm telling you. So just be careful. Amen? All right. Matthew 19, beginning in verse 27, the Word of God reads this. Then Peter said to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us?" And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this time of year. We thank you for our graduates. We thank you for Sam over at the Christian school. We thank you for Olivia and Melissa, Lord, here graduating out of our church. Lord, we pray a special prayer for them, that you give them great wisdom and discernment as they begin this next chapter in their lives. Lord, help them make wise decisions, as we mentioned. Help them make prayerful decisions. And Lord, just because we're out of school does not mean we don't have authority over us, and does not mean we have to answer and be held accountable. So Lord, help them navigate this young adulthood, young adult life. We pray a hedge of protection around each one of them. And Lord, we just pray that they're able to get their young adult lives going and make an impact for you on this world. Lord, thank you for loving them. Thank you for saving them. And now, Lord, thank you for this passage. We thank you for giving it to us this morning. We thank you for these that you have assembled here this morning, Lord. We thank you for those that have come out to visit with us. Father God, we pray that the Word of God would intersect their heart in such a way that they would be blessed, encouraged, convicted, and held accountable to the Word of God. Lord, may you get the glory for what's said and done here today. And Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, we pray that at the conclusion of the preaching moment, that they would find their way down here during the invitation, asking, inquiring what it means to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So we give you the praise and the glory today, Lord, for all that you do. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the Holy and Inerrant Word of God. And may he add his tremendous blessing to it. The title of the message, if I were to give it a title, would be this: You Cannot Outgive the Lord. You just cannot do it. Now, as we begin this passage tells of a question. That who? Well, that the Apostle Peter asked of the Lord. What's going on? As so often was the case in the New Testament, the 12 disciples with the Apostle Peter, The Apostle Peter was the one who stepped forward to ask the questions. He was kind of the representative leader of these apostles, of these disciples. The rest would kind of stand in the shadows behind him, and Peter would open his big mouth and let it out. And of course, this passage also tells of our Lord's gracious response to Peter's question. Now, as we mentioned last week, if you were here for that, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to give his life as a ransom for the sin debt of humanity. And on his way, Jesus is approached, if you'll remember, he's approached by the rich young ruler, verses 19 through 26, which we preached through last week. In that passage, we ultimately saw that one cannot work for their salvation. We saw that. We saw that in the passage. We saw that one must be drawn, one must be convicted by the Holy Spirit in order to get saved. And that salvation we saw last week is a free thing. But we said if you are saved, you'll be willing to give up whatever. You'll be willing to give up whatever for your King. Amen? Well, in the midst of this self-proclaimed law follower, the rich young ruler, getting schooled by Jesus on the finer points of entrance into the kingdom, the disciples were flat shocked. This exchange between Jesus and this wealthy landowner, who was probably, we talked about last Sunday night, was probably John Mark, caused them to take inventory of themselves, attempting to discover if they, in fact, had given up everything to follow Jesus. And if they had given up everything, was there anything coming back to them for their obedience? Still with me? Now, for the rest of us, if you have found that following Christ has indeed cost you something, perhaps you would want the answer to that question yourself. Now, some would say a truly devoted follower of Jesus should never be concerned about receiving anything from the Lord for following or obeying or working or sacrificing for the Lord. And if that's your mindset, then I would invite you, I would encourage you to take that up with the Lord, man. Talk to Him about that, because I am simply preaching the passage the way the passage reads. In other words, notice Jesus does not rebuke Peter. He doesn't get all up in Peter's face for the question. He graciously and lovingly answers Peter's question. Now, are you still with me? All right. 2 points. Point number one, if you respond to Him, there will probably be a cost to you somewhere. If you respond to Christ, there will probably be a cost somewhere. Then Peter said to him, verse 27, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us?" Why did they leave everything? Well, because Jesus called them, right? Let me tell you something today. Jesus calls us to many things. He calls us to many things. There is a call to salvation. There's a call to salvation. There's a call to discipleship. There's a call to church membership. Man, you should join a church if the Lord hadn't called you to join that church. There's a call to church membership. There is a call to ministry. There's a call to tithe. There is a call to prayer. There's a call to righteousness. There's a call to be holy. And the list could go on and on and on. In each of these aforementioned calls, there is a cost after we obey. Well, I didn't know that. Well, you need to be aware of that. From your reputation, it might cost you. Of your time, you may have to expend some of your time. Your finances, it's going to cost you there. To your rest, You're not going to have all the leisure you thought you were going to have to your standard of living. You're not going to have the standard of living you thought you were going to have. There will be a price to pay. I don't know what some of you are thinking. Hey, preacher, man, what gives? I thought my salvation was a free gift from God. I thought my salvation was free. And your salvation, let me tell you something. Yours, if you're saved, your salvation costs God tremendously. There was a price paid for your salvation. It cost God tremendously in the life of His Son. But you are correct. Before your salvation, you pay nothing. You simply come to Him as you are, confessing before Him that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and inviting Jesus to be the Lord and the Savior of your life. Hallelujah, isn't that good? But the cost analysis, the spreadsheet that shows the great cost, the cost analysis begins the moment He enters your heart and regenerates your spirit. You no longer are just a body and a soul, but you're now spiritually alive. For you see, Jesus, if you're saved, is now the Lord and Savior of your life. Which means what, preacher? Which means you came to Jesus as you are. You came to Jesus just as you were. But this is the deal, man. He is not going to allow you to remain that way. He's not going to allow you to remain that way. Rather, He's going to move you more and more to submit to His Word and to His will and become more like Him, His Son, God's Son, Jesus Christ. Now, does Jesus give us false advertising? No. Does a lot of churches give false advertising? Yes. But Jesus gives no false advertising here. Saying yes to a call from Jesus is going to mean you saying no to something as it relates to your life or your comfort or your leisure or something to do with your life. Think about in the case of Peter and his brother Andrew answering yes to Jesus' call. Think about that. That meant leaving their fishing business behind. Now, many of us who have heard the Lord's clear call to enter into His service have had to leave behind a profitable career or business. Some have had to leave behind a vocation that in the world's eyes is far more respected and desired than being in the ministry. Some have had to forsake the use of their skills and talents in money-making fields and apply them to the Lord's service in ways that the world doesn't notice or value. In the case of James and John, their sacrifice was even greater than Peter and his brother Andrew. They not only had to leave their fishing business behind because they were partners with Peter and Andrew, but they also had to leave family ties behind along with the business, meaning they left their father. So they left the trade, the business they had built, and the father who had taught them the business to answer Jesus' call. Well, as we think about what we're covering today, what do the costs represent? Look at verse 29 with me. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake. What do the costs represent? Well, houses. We see houses here in the passage. That's the places that not only represent security and provision for the future, but that also provide comfort and safety and rest in the present. We read this little phrase, brothers or sisters, father or mother, or children. And many can testify that following Jesus puts them at odds sometimes. puts them at odds sometimes irreconcilably with their closest family members. Jesus freak, you nut. What? You're going to church again? Man, what's going on in your life? What are you getting up there? What are you getting up there at that church? Man, you're crazy to spend that much time. You understand what I'm saying? Some of you have had those conversations. They've been a whole lot louder than what I'm talking about here. In some countries and cultures, being a Jesus follower involves being booted, being kicked out of the family forever. And how many times have we seen a spouse becoming a follower of Jesus Christ and their salvation drives a wedge between that believer and their unbelieving spouse? Oh, me? Yeah. Following Jesus is the most expensive adventure a man or woman could ever sign up for. It most definitely involves a loss of many of the comforts and pleasures of this world. So what is in it for me, Peter asked. What's in it for me? Notice Jesus' answer here. That I believe is to Peter and his disciples, but is also to me and you. Notice his answer. Brings me to point number two. Jesus' promise. It's a promise here in the Scripture. Jesus' promise, you will not outgive him. You will not outgive him. Let's say that together. You will not outgive him. That's about five people. Let's all say it together. You will not outgive him. Man, let that sink in. You will not outgive him. And Jesus said to them, verse 28, truly I say to you that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. First of all, we want to talk about what the 12 disciples will receive. That's the balance of verse 28. What will they receive? Now, when you think about the apostles, these disciples, these 12, historians tell us that every one of the 12 died a martyr's death for our Savior, with the exception of two. Judas Iscariot, he went out and hanged himself after he betrayed the Savior. John, the beloved apostle, survived an attempt to take his life and went on to die at a very old age in exile, presumably on the Isle of Patmos. With me still? All of the others historically died at the hands of those who opposed them in the preaching of the gospel. They gave their all for him. They gave their all for Christ. And he, Jesus, promises to give them a unique position in his kingdom during the millennium kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been covering that on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. Per verse 28, there it is, millennial kingdom again. The question that often comes up, who will be the 12th man on the throne? I don't know, A&M graduate, who will be the 12th man on the throne? Who knows? Who knows? Judas was lost. We know it's not going to be him. So will it be Paul or will it be Matthias, the disciple who took Judas's place in the first chapter of Acts? I don't know for sure. Maybe it'll be an Aggie. Amen? There's somebody, 12th man, right? But what I do know for sure is that Jesus reaffirmed what he said here just before he went to the cross in Luke 22, 28 through 30. The Word of God reads in Luke chapter 22, it says, you are those who have stood by me in my trials, and just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, that's what they receive. But what about the rest of us? What will we receive? Well, first of all, you were promised to receive it in this life. Now, it doesn't say it here. But you go to Mark's account, you go to Luke's account of this very same passage, and you find out that you're going to receive it in this life. Mark 10:30, Luke 18:29. Secondly, whatever genuine, legitimate thing you have given up for Jesus' name's sake, you will receive back from God many times over. Some of your translations say 100 times over. And this is the big question that often comes up. Preacher, how do you know if you're receiving what God has promised to give you to replace what you believe that you have given up? Well, I don't know. You're going to have to go talk to Joel Osteen about that. I do not have a clue. No. I do have a clue. Do not go talk to Joel Osteen about that. Amen? Do have a clue. I answer that question with a question. The answer to that question is another question, and this is the question. How content are you following Jesus? How content are you following Jesus? How content are you? How content are you dropping your tithe in the plate every Sunday? How content are you coming to the church house when the doors are open? How content are you breaking open the bread of life each and every day? How content are you praying to the Lord? How content are you witnessing for Christ? How content are you? Right? Because this is what it comes down to. Have you ever met the cynical church member before? The cynical church member. Have you ever met that person? Let me try to describe them. They always got a complaint about something. Always complaining. Always griping about something. Always upset about their money going into the offering plate. Always sideways about the time being spent down at the church house. What gives? What gives? Why do we got to give? What do we got to do? Why do we got to work? Why? Well, let me break it down for you, friend. If you've ever met the cynical church member. They are either religious and lost as a goose, as a ball in high weeds, they are lost. Or they're saved. But friend, they don't have an idea of what sacrifice for the kingdom is. They've not exercised any sacrifice, and therefore God has not poured anything back on them. Does that make sense? Man, I hope that's crystal. I hope that's crystal today. Right? Friend, the church. Say the church. The church. One more time. The church. The church is the place. This is the location where a lot of God's great payout, this is where it takes place. Right here. This is where it happens. And if you're not here to experience the payout, that's not Jesus' fault, is it? If you come here with a walk-a-doo attitude, that's not Jesus' fault. If you come here all bent out of shape, that ain't Jesus' fault. If you're the cynical church member I just described, that's again not Jesus' fault. Are you figuring out where the fault lies? You saying I got a problem? Hey, man, I'm just preaching the word. Just preaching the word, amen? See, a lot of the things we give up, Jesus uses the church to make up that many times over payout. That many times over payout of an equation. He uses the church. Me and my family are a living illustration of it. A living illustration. Every time we as a family have answered the call to go to some church, to pastor them, to preach to them, to love them and the Lord, we did not take my folks with us. We did not take Stephanie's folks with us. We were not allowed to take our extended family. There were not enough rooms in the parsonage. There was not enough housing allowance to house everybody. So extended family got left. Got left behind. I mean, man, we've been out of state. We've been all over the place. But time after time, God always met the need with folks in the church, sharing their love with us, sharing their love for us, sharing their love to us. They were kind of like having a whole bunch of sets of surrogate parents that really cared for you. And when it came to my kids, they were like surrogate grandparents. It was amazing, man. It was incredible. Now, I think this passage to us in verse 29 is representative of anything. We said, what do the costs represent? I think it's representative of anything we might give up for Christ. We might give up family. We might give up time. We might give up finances. We might give up a job. We might give up houses or relationships. We might give up land, whatever it may be. Let me bottom line it for you. Frank, you still with me? Amen, Frank? Good to see you, Frank. The Lord, amen. The Lord will either grow you in spiritual maturity, helping you realize you did not need what you gave up. The Lord will help you either do that, or if in fact you legitimately needed what you left behind for Christ, this passage promises that He will bless your socks off. Amen? Amen. Somebody said He has. And He has. Amen? John Wesley, way back in the day. You ever heard of Methodist Church? Methodism? John Wesley. He was a man who sacrificed much for the cause of the gospel. Much. But it was his own personal testimony that he never once in all of his long life, he never once felt he really sacrificed anything for the Lord, because the Lord gave it back to him a hundredfold. A hundredfold. Whatever it may cost you or me in this time to follow Jesus, we have His promise that we will receive from His hand multiple times over whatever it is that we had to forsake. Hallelujah. First, your promise to receive it in this life. Second, whatever genuine, legitimate thing you have given up for Jesus' name's sake, you will receive back from God many times over. And thirdly, the promise not only applies to here and now for us, but the promise also applies to eternal life. As Mark tells us in the age to come, Mark chapter 10, verse 30. Jesus says we will, in Matthew's gospel, inherit eternal life, verse 29. Friend, the greatest reason to follow Jesus Christ is because He is the pathway to eternal life. As Peter himself once wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, he says, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last day. Time. Friend, we gain back everything in life that we give up in order to follow Jesus faithfully. And when this physical life is over, we gain eternal life with Him. We give up for Jesus what we cannot keep. We give up for Jesus what we cannot keep in order to gain with Him what we cannot lose. What are you telling me, man? I am telling you today that following Jesus is the greatest deal in the universe. The greatest deal in the universe. Amen? Now, don't forget or go away confused or go away all disjointed or go away all wound up. This giving up business is in response. It's in response to His call on your life. His call on your life. In other words, the Holy Spirit leading you to do or to be for Christ. The Holy Spirit leading you to do or to be for Christ. Jesus is very clear that we are not to lay aside the things of life on our own initiative. Rather, we are only to do so in response to His call. His call. Peter, James, John, Matthew, and the others left everything behind when Jesus called them. The Lord goes before us, calling us, and we follow Him only where He leads. Now, I've got pastor friends. That if finally, I've been saying it for years, and I always get the title of being the old negative guy, but I'm not a negative guy. I'm just a realist. I got water all over my hands. Let's swap that off right there. Condensation on that bottle, but the water sure is cold. Amen. So I've had the title in my pastor groups of being the negative guy I've been talking about how the church has been dying for years. The Western church, American church, been dying for years. I've had pastor friends over the years say, man, you're being too harsh. Being too harsh on the old American church. I don't think so. This passage right here intersects the view, the perspective, 30 years in the gospel ministry. It intersects the perspective, the view, that this is why the American church or the Western church is dying. You say, why, preacher? Where are you going? Friend, because people are not in the Word. Because people are not in the Word and are not praying as they should. Because people are not in the Word and praying as they should, then they have, are you ready? They have no earthly idea what Jesus is calling them to. What Jesus is calling them to. They got no clue. Preacher, boy, we need some financial help, man. Can you get up there and can you preach on stewardship? Well, friend, I can preach on stewardship till I am blue and purple in the face. I can preach on stewardship till I drop dead. But unless you get in the Word and the Holy Spirit pricks your heart to do what you're to do as a congregation and give of your tithes and offerings. You understand? That makes sense? Right? Makes sense? Yeah. People in the pew today, they want a concert with lights and smoke. They want a guy that smiles the whole time he speaks. Joel Osteen, it's just not my nature to do it. I cannot smile while I speak. I mean, I try, but it's hard. It's hard to talk while, it's hard to smile while. I can't do it, right? Right? In other words, most folks want this. They want a cinematic religious distraction 1 hour, 1.5 hour a week. I mean, if the music's really good, you can push it 1 hour and 45 minutes. If the smoke machine really rolls it off the stage. I mean, you can give me 1 hour and 45. I mean, you know, make it about 55, 1 hour, 1 hour and 15 of music. I mean, give me a concert. And then, you know, speak for about 20, 25 minutes. And then let's have a long, drawn-out invitation, man, where you just milk my emotions till my emotions can't be milked any longer. And I will call that good for the week. Most folks want a religious distraction once a week. They want a warm fuzzy once a week. But if these same folks, man, if these same folks were to get serious about living for Jesus every day, in the Word every day, praying every day, there would be a whole lot more answering Jesus' calls going on. You understand what I'm saying? there would be a whole lot more moving of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Amen. Because the pew, the laity, the church folk would actually be wrestling with what Jesus is wanting them to do. I mean, what Peter's doing here in this passage, he is wrestling with the concept of giving everything, answering God's call, and is there anything for me? Right? Well, I want to tell you, there's a lot in there for Peter. And friend, there's a lot in there for you. The question is this. Is he calling you in some way today? Has he been calling you in some way for a while? Has he been? Is he? You know what? You can trust him. He keeps his promises. No one who gives all for him will ever end up a loser. You will always end up a winner. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for this passage. We thank you for Peter's question. We thank you for what it represents. We thank you for how it intersects our society and our culture. And Lord, we pray for the church today, not just this church. We pray for all of the churches across this land that, Lord, we would find your word to be true. And we would find a two-way communication with you to be legitimate. And we would practice those things and seek your mind and seek your leading. And Father God, when you do knock on the door of our hearts to do this or to do that or to go here or to be that or go where, that Lord, we would say as Peter and Andrew, as these disciples said, we would say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We would follow. We would answer the call. No matter what the cost. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you for those in this congregation who have answered the call through the years. May you reveal in their hearts. May you reveal in their lives how you've blessed them, Lord, and how you've poured it out upon them. For those that are disgruntled with their current state of church affairs, Lord, may you show them that there's a call for them to answer. And Lord, once they begin the process of legitimately sacrificing for you, they will not be able to contain the blessing and the payout in their life. Many times over, 100 times over, it's something over. The legitimate truth remains what we've shared today. We cannot outgive you. Thank you for that, Jesus. Be with those now that need to make decisions, Lord. Be with those that need to come to the altar and pray. Be with those that need to receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. We pray that we would make decisions to honor your name and bring glory to who you are. Thank you for all you've done for us. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. If you'll stand with us all over the sanctuary, Brother Jeremiah is going to lead us in a time of invitation. I'll be down front. The altars are open. You come as the Lord leads you.
I once was lost, but now
Well, militia, come on, man. What's the deal? You can't outgive the what, huh? Can't outgive? Can't outgive? You can't outgive the Lord, girlfriend. Amen? You be in that promise book. A lot of promises God gives you. Amen, amen? All right. Very good. Hey, Jesus is coming back, right? There's a new heaven and a new earth. We've been talking about it on Wednesday nights and Sunday night. Yeah, waiting on us. And we're gonna cover another installment again in the book of Revelation. So, if you want to hear about that tonight, be back at 6 o'clock. Amen. We'll have a good time. How are you doing? Good to see you today.
Yeah,
amen.
I like that message we had tonight.
Good.
Time to go home.
Time to go home. Amen. Well, we let you. Hey, good to have you today. I know it. Yeah. Amen. Good to have you today. All right. How you doing? Good? Amen. All right. Well, hey, let's have a closing word of prayer. How you feeling? You okay? Amen. Good to see you. Let's have a closing word of prayer, and you'll be dismissed. Frank, good to see you. You coming back tonight? Yeah. All right, Frank. All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you again for this time, Lord. Thank you for these folks. Thank you for our visitors today, Lord. We pray that, Lord, you continue to send visitors. And, Lord, continue to build your church here. And, Lord, we know we got many challenges, and the church has gone through it with the COVID business. But, Lord, we're believing you want to do one last great, one more time, big revival right here in this country, a turning back. We think about the debate and the battle for the unborn. Father God, we pray that you would raise up pastors, that you would raise up churches, that you would raise up Christians, that you would raise up your people to protect the innocence of the unborn. Father God, may we stand in the gap for them. And Lord, may we in love speak the truth about who that is in a woman's body, a creation of Almighty God. Lord, we thank you for life. We thank you for church. We thank you for family. And as we learn today, we thank you for the payout here and the payout there. So, Lord, may we rest in these things. May we celebrate these things. And may we keep on keeping on for your glory and honor. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said,
amen.
All right, you folks are dismissed. We'll see you next time.